overarching sky. The sky, too, has its changes, but they are less marked than those of the vegetation and the river. Clouds map it up at times, but it is normally a dome of blending tints, and the main tint, blue. By day, the blue will pale down into white where it touches the white of the land. After sunset, it has a new circumference, orange, melting upwards into tenderest purple. But the core of blue persists, and so it is by night. Then the stars hang like lamps from the immense vault. The distance between the earth and them is as nothing to the distance behind them, and that further distance, though beyond colour, last freed itself from blue. The sky settles everything, not only climates and seasons, but when the earth shall be beautiful. By herself she can do little, only feeble outbursts of flowers. But when the sky chooses, glory can rain into the Chandrapur bazaars, or a benediction pass from horizon to horizon. The sky can do this because it is so strong and so enormous. Strength comes from the sun, infused in it daily. Size from the prostrate earth. No mountains infringe on the curve. League after league, the earth lies flat, heaves a little, is flat again. Only in the south, where a group of fists and fingers are thrust up through the soil, is the endless expanse interrupted. These fists and fingers are the Marabar Hills, containing the extraordinary caves. Chapter 2. Abandoning his bicycle, which fell before a servant could catch it, the young man sprang up onto the veranda. He was all animation.
"Hamidullah, Hamidullah, am I late?" he cried.
"Do not apologize," said his host. "You are always late."
"Kindly answer my question. Am I late? Has Mahmud Ali eaten all the food? If so, I go elsewhere. Mr. Mahmud Ali, how are you?"
"Thank you, Dr. Aziz, I am dying."
"Dying before your dinner? Oh, poor Mahmud Ali."
"Hamidullah here is actually dead. He passed away just as you rode up on your bike."
"Yes, that is so," said the other. "Imagine us both as addressing you from another and a happier world."
"Does there happen to be such a thing as a hookah in that happier world of yours?"
"Aziz, don't chatter. We are having a very sad talk."
The hookah had been packed too tight, as was usual in his friend's house, and bubbled sulkily. He coaxed it. Yielding at last, the tobacco jetted up into his lungs and nostrils, driving out the smoke of burning cow dung that had filled them as he rode through the bazaar. It was delicious. He lay in a trance, sensuous but healthy, through which the talk of the two others did not seem particularly sad. They were discussing as to whether or no it is possible to be friends with an Englishman. Mahmud Ali argued that it was not. Hamidullah disagreed, but with so many reservations that there was no friction between them. Delicious indeed to lie on the broad veranda with the moon rising in front and the servants preparing dinner behind, and no trouble happening.
"Well, look at my own experience this morning."
"I only contend that it is possible in England," replied Hamidullah, who had been to that country long ago before the big rush and had received a cordial welcome at Cambridge.
"It is impossible here. Aziz, the red-nosed boy has again insulted me in court. I do not blame him. He was told that he ought to insult me. Until lately he was quite a nice boy, but the others have got hold of him."
"Yes, they have no chance here. That is my point. They come out intending to be gentlemen and are told it will not do. Look at Leslie. Look at Blakiston. Now it is your red-nosed boy, and Fielding will go next. Why, I remember when Turton came out first. It was in another part of the province. You fellows will not believe me, but I have driven with Turton in his carriage." "Turton? Oh, yes, we were once quite intimate. He has shown me his stamp collection."
"He would expect you to steal it now, Turton. But Red-Nosed Boy will be far worse than Turton."
"I do not think so. They all become exactly the same. Not worse, not better. I give any Englishman 2 years, be he Turton or Burton. It is only the difference of a letter. And I give any Englishwoman 6 months. All are exactly alike. Do you not agree with me?"
"I do not,"
replied Mahmud Ali, entering into the bitter fun and feeling both pain and amusement at each word that was uttered.
"For my own part, I find such profound differences among our rulers. Red-nose mumbles,